325 Greenwood, Shreveport.
K223BI.
98.9 Monroe, West Monroe.
K255BT.
100.1 Lake Charles.
K261EB. And KQJOFM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Hallelujah. The anointing does not just come because. The prophet said that in that day, God's going to remove the burden from off of our shoulders, and is going to remove the yoke from around our neck. And then he said, and the anointing, the yoke shall be not broken, the yoke shall be destroyed only by, only by the anointing. Hallelujah. We've heard for years Creflo Dollar teach us that the anointing is that burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Malandola portion. The anointing always deals with the Holy Ghost. It's represented by oil. Hallelujah. And that's another symbolic representation of the Holy Ghost. My God. I feel like preaching, but I got to slow this thing down so I can hear him as he gives it to me. The anointing is the power of God. It is the Holy Spirit. But it only rests upon the word. Where there is no word, there is no anointing. Hallelujah. And I, being musical in my background, I have found the fault and the failure in a lot of our beliefs and doctrine in music. Because what we used to do was come together and pray. And I can only use my experiences. Pray, God, anoint our hands. Anoint our songs. Hallelujah. Anoint the music. And God stopped me years ago and said, I will never anoint your hands. And I will never anoint your songs. I will never anoint your physical abilities. And he told me, if I did so, you would be like Samson. Only coming to receive temporarily to go back to your sin. And whenever the need arises, you rise up and shake yourself and conquer an enemy that ultimately conquers you. Because you did not have your life in line with the word. My God. It's amazing. The very thing that we try to conquer and have nominal success, we rejoice over nominal success, not realizing that in the future, that very thing is going to come back and conquer us. Samson was the slayer of the Philistines. Samson was a Nazarite. Samson's glory and his hair carried his power. Hallelujah. But Samson had proclivities that were unnatural, that were vices, that were vile, that were lascivious. He had a whorish mentality. You better hear me. He slept with women and he did the inordinate. But whenever the Philistines came, he was the champion and the hero. Strange that God would continuously use him and him continuously go back to lay with women. Hallelujah. My God. See, we don't tell the true depth of the story of our patriarchs and champions in the Bible. For if you really look into the lives of just about every one of them that you read, there is a dark side. There's a dark side. You can read about David all day long, but there's a dark side of this anointed psalmist. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You can read about the kings all day long, but there's a dark side. Hallelujah. And Samson had this broken side that was prevalent in his natural life. Hallelujah. And the peaks and the highs of his spiritual life caused us to marvel at him, the strong man in the Bible. But the strong man had a weakness that humbled him. Hallelujah. And God started showing me the inconsistencies of Samson. The inconsistencies of how he operated. He's called to be a select breed of Hebrew. A Nazarite can't cut your hair. Have to live by a certain code. I don't hear anybody. And knowing the code, he still disobeyed. But he still functioned. And that's what confuses some of us. We're still functioning with nominal success, but we're still in sin. I'm not here just to give you a Sunday high. I must bring you to a point of sobriety that you can see yourself in these analogies. Because there is no victory in moderate and nominal success. No. There's no victory in overcoming one thing just to be overcome by three others. Stop glorifying your one victory and overlooking your multiple falls. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. I'm glad to use myself through this message. Look at somebody and say, he's got to refine me. Look at somebody and say, I need that anointing. Samson, the Philistines are upon us. Shake yourself, kill a couple of Philistines. Go back to sin. Hallelujah. But ultimately, after you kill all the Philistines that you kill, there's still a Philistine that has a plan. And although you kill a few of us in comparison to how many we are, if you don't kill the stuff in you, that same Philistine's going to get together and get some greater than him and come back to destroy you. That's an Old Testament situation. Then you go into the New Testament and Jesus teaches, when a wicked spirit, an evil spirit, comes out of a man, he has to wander in dry places. But when he finds that he can find no habitation anywhere else, he says he's going to return to the... He's going to return to the vessel that he left. And if he comes back to that vessel that he was dispossessed out of, if he comes back to that vessel that he was evicted out of, that vessel had victory in the eviction, but didn't have maintenance to make sure they stayed in freedom. Oh, God, help me. I got delivered, but I didn't get filled. And there's no word in me to contest and combat the demon when he returns. So the same demon that I was delivered from comes back and I become subjugated by. Oh, Bashe. So when the demon comes back and finds that that vessel is still empty, ain't another demon in there, but there's no word in there. There's no power. This Holy Ghost not there. And where the Holy Ghost is not, the anointing is not. Where the word is not, the anointing is not. Oh, God, help my soul. And when he finds that vessel still empty, clean, he says, I got to go and get seven more. More strong, more ferocious, more wicked, more vile than myself. Come back to the man, overcome the man. And the latter end of the man is worse than the former. That's the way it was with Samson. But he died such a victorious death. No, He died a death that was unnecessary. How dare you say that? Oh, no, you need to read the scriptures. Samson was not supposed to go down with the Philistines. He was supposed to be a hero and a judge that lived his life out in fullness to the glory of God. But because he was temporal and he was sporadic in his relationship with God, his glory's taken from him. Same thing, that his glory and his strength is the same equivalent of our anointing. Hallelujah. So his anointing is taken from him. The anointing gives you the unction to perform. And when that unction is taken from you, it's the same equivalent as Samson losing his hair. If you find yourself sitting back and saying, I used to be on fire, and I used to be empowered, but I'm not anymore, for whatever reason you find, I was hurt, I was disappointed, somebody didn't do that. No, there are no excuses. Because God never promised you that you was going to live in heaven on earth. He never promised you that just because you're saved that everybody's going to work with you. As a matter of fact, you should have been prepared. What's wrong with you? Who taught you? Who raised you? For whoever taught you wrong. The first thing they should have told you, that offenses are going to come. That you have to deal with some despicable people. Once you come into the body of Christ, you are going to come into a place where you have enemies. I'm not talking about that person. I'm talking about that demon. Hallelujah. And those spirits are going to jump in people. And everybody's not going to work with you. And everything's not going to work for you. But you got to grow up fast. God, why am I preaching so hard? You got to grow up fast. And you've got to take on your strength. Put on your strength. Put on your strength. You got to sit under sound teaching. You've got to sit with people who have the anointing. You've got to get rid of things that hold you back. You've got to identify your weaknesses and leave them in the dust. And you've got to gravitate to your strength, even if it intimidates you. God, I'm preaching too hard. If you ever sit back and say, oh yeah, I used to be on fire. Oh yeah, I used to have the anointing. Oh yeah, I used to move under the unction. Oh yeah, I used to flow in the spirit. But something's happening, you know, I'm still trying to work my way back up. Something's wrong. And you are out of order. Samson had a problem. His anointing left because he kept playing with sin. You can't play with sin and keep that anointing. It'll remain for a while, give you a chance to get yourself together, and that's the thing that fools us. Because Samson's anointing remained for a while. And he kept laying down, having sex, jumping back up, shaking himself, killing Philistines. And he is the champion and the judge in Israel. But you keep playing with sin, you're going to lose that anointing. Hallelujah. And one day he laid his head in the lap of sin too long. And sin devised a way to find out where his anointing lies. You stay in sin and it's going to hit the core of where you are. And it's going to tap you in your anointing and drain your strength. I don't hear nobody. It's not going to stop until it stops you. Yes, God. Yes, God. Well, my once in a while sin is going to develop into once in frequent whiles. And then it's going to become often. And it's going to become constant. And before you know it, you're going to be a liar. And you're going to be a deceiver. And you're going to keep acting like you're saved when you know that you're really not. And you're going to stay in the congregation of the righteous because you can't disappear. But you're going to be evidently embarrassed because you don't flow in that same anointing that you had. And though you can fool some people, you can't fool all people. Because there are some people that have discernment. And they see that you're not who you used to be. Yeah. They may not say anything, but your cover's been blown and your card's been peeped, and it's already been known that you're not where you should be. You're out of place. But we don't judge it. We don't judge you harshly. We just say, get back in place quickly, because there's still time. You can save yourself from all your anointing being gone. You can save yourself from your own self-destruction. Just get back under the anointing. Get back into the word. Get back into the power. Get back into the sanctification. Separate yourself from the things that you're doing so that you can get that anointing back. Somebody holler, I want my anointing back. He laid his head in the lap. Sin too long. And then one day, sin found out where he really lived. And sin siphoned off. Sin cut off his anointing. Sin will cut off your anointing. And then sin played him. Sin called to more sin and said, I have him now. So come and get him, boys. As he lay asleep, sin saw its accomplices. And sin screams, Samson, the Philistines are upon us. And he got up, shook himself. But he noticed his anointing was gone. Because although he did what he used to do, the power wasn't there. We can play the songs we used to play and sing the songs we used to sing and say the words we used to say, dance the dance we used to dance, but the power is gone. And you're just keeping up the motions. But the anointing has departed. Ichabod is written over your head. The Spirit of the Lord has departed. Oh, God, help me. The Spirit of the Lord has departed. Still got the form, but the Spirit's gone. Still got the image, but the Spirit's gone. Still keeping up appearances, but the Spirit has departed. Hallelujah. I'm talking to us in this room. Still going on with our ministry, but the Spirit has departed. Still trying to study the Bible because we have to, because we don't want to be ignorant to the word. But the truth of the matter is, if your sin is still in existence, your sin cancels out the word. Hallelujah. Because in the book of Deuteronomy, he said that your sins have separated you from your God. Mm-hmm. And we study the word for academics, but we don't apply the word. So the word is not in effect when there is sin in there. My God, help me. And Samson found himself bound, and he found himself tied and taken into captivity, made sport of. His eyes were gouged out, so now he can't even see anymore. And that's a sorry thing. When you lose your anointing, you lose your sight. When you lose your anointing, you don't see like you used to see. Hallelujah. You can't see right. You can't judge things rightly. When you lose your anointing, you are off beat. You have moved. You have shifted. You have changed. You have fallen. And you cannot see. You grope in darkness, just keeping the same practices. You can still see, sing without seeing. Oh, God, help me. Help me. They make sport of him, put him in the arena. This is the guy that used to kill us. Now we have him. And Samson prayed a prayer of desperation. It wasn't Victoria's prayer. It was a prayer of desperation. Let me paraphrase it. He got a little boy to lead him to the main pillars. As he stood there and felt the pillars that held up the structure of the whole building, he prayed, now, God, one last time. One last time. You're too young to die with this, Samson. I know, but I've wasted the days I had. So one last time, just let me take them out and let me die with them. That wasn't the plan of God for Samson's life. For him to die with his enemies. He was supposed to be the champion for Israel. That's what happens when you lose your anointing. So I learned from Samson not to pray, God, anoint my hands, anoint my voice, anoint my feet. Because God said, I'm not doing that. That's not what I do. Either I anoint your whole life by your obedience and submission to my will and my word. Y'all hear me? Either I anoint your whole being, your whole life, so that the oil flows from your head down into your beard, down into your garments, and flows down to your feet. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Either I anoint your whole entire life because you surrender to me and my word is found in you, or you carry no anointing at all. You can have the gift, boy, but that anointing is mine. Hallelujah. And there are many gifted vessels, but they don't carry the power of God. They don't carry the deliverance of God. They don't wield the authority of God. Good God, help me. So we have got to live in the anointing. The anointing oil, the Holy Ghost, the power of God, has got to smear us. Meaning make us greasy. David was anointed. Anointing wasn't like we do in church. We just don't want to mess up your clothes and your hair. And we take a little bit of oil and put it on our hands and That ain't real anointing. That's just symbolic. That's not real, because if we anointed you like the Bible said anoint you, we would anoint you until the whole bottle of oil is emptied. But you would get an attitude if we did that. You ain't Christian. You ain't saved enough for that oil. You ain't saved enough for that anointing. Hallelujah. I was anointed once where my whole body, from here, where you're gasping for air, because it's getting all in your eyes and your nose. They emptied a bottle on my head. And my anger and my emotions better not get involved, because this is what God's called for. If you read, David talks about it. He said, he anointed my head with oil so much that my cup started to run over. It flowed from my head into my cup, and then out of my cup onto the ground. That anointing is supposed to flow so much over you that it fills everything around you. You don't hear me. He anoints my head with oil and my cup runs. And see, David understood the anointing, because it was one day in his preteens that he was called from outside with the sheep. And he walked into his living room and found a prophet in there. Hokandalamasi. Found a prophet in his living room by the name of Samuel. His dad stands there looking in awe. His brothers stand there confused. And the prophet says, walk the boy by me. And the prophet pulls out this ram's horn, but it's filled with oil, and it has a seal over it. And he holds the heavy ram's horn over the boy's head. And because the boy submitted himself to God and had an affair with God out in the fields, because the boy wasn't even thinking about a position, he just wanted to be in the presence of God. Because the boy wasn't even counting on being anybody great, he was happy with his harp and the sheep giving counsels of one to God. They thought he was crazy. They laughed at him and didn't even consider him when the prophet came. But the truth of the matter is, most people that are anointed had a relationship with God nobody really knew about. They wasn't wearing a collar, and they didn't have a gold chain in their pocket. They didn't have a title nor a position. But greater still, they didn't have a desire for it. You don't have to call me sister, brother, nothing. All I gotta be is in the presence of God. All that I wanna be is in the presence of God. Because in his presence is the fullness of joy. I'm happy just in his presence. I'm okay with him knowing my name. I don't need a billboard. And I don't need a sound stand. I don't need an agent. And I don't need a publicist. I just need to be in the presence of the Lord. That's good enough for me. He was happy in the field without the prophet knowing him. He was happy in the field, even though his father wasn't covering him. Happy in the field with the sheep and before God, because God was enough for him. And because he pleased God, when he stands there with a horn over his head, he doesn't know the ritual. He has no clue what's going on. And all of a sudden, the seal bursts. And all over his entire body, oils flow. When you please God, it causes the oil to flow. You don't have to do anything but please God, and the oil will flow. When a man's ways pleases God, that anointing on his life will even make his enemies be at peace with him. I feel the anointing in this room. That's why I can preach this without any notes. Because the Holy Ghost is trying to give you the heads up that if you want this anointing, this burden removing, yoke destroying anointing, you've got to live a holy. You've got to live holy. I'm not talking about halfway saved. Holy. I'm not talking about a drinking Christian. Holy. I'm not talking about a cussing Christian. Holy. I'm not talking about a backbiting Christian. Holy. I'm not talking about a clubbing Christian. I'm not talking about an angry Christian. Holy. Follow peace with all men, and a holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. The only way to be anointed and keep it. You can be anointed and lose it. But the only way to be anointed and keep it is by living holy. Sit down, I'm finished. Holy. Living holy. I'm going to say this, and I want you to appreciate what I'm saying. And if you don't appreciate it, you'll learn as you go. We are on the brink of seeing an absence of holiness replaced by a leader.